Time now for the Seattle Thunderbirds Weekly Coaches Show on your exclusive home for Thunderbirds hockey. 1090 KJR.
Winners of two of their last six, injuries continue to plague the Thunderbirds' search for consistency. Can they find it this weekend? Big hockey news for the Pacific Northwest this week, but the NHL is old hat to one person associated with the T-Birds. We'll talk to them. It's the Hockey Talk next with head coach Matt Audette on Sports Radio 1090 KJR.
Now back to the Seattle Thunderbirds Coaches Show, a weekly look inside T-Birds hockey and the WHL. The Thunderbirds Weekly Coaches Show with Tom Boyning and head coach Matt Audette.
Well, whether you are a hockey fan, a soon-to-be hockey fan, or just a big fan of all things Seattle, it was certainly no denying that this past week, one of the biggest in hockey history in the city, is the NHL awarded the city the 32nd franchise for the NHL, set to begin to play in 2021. But hey, guess what? There is a team already that bears the name of the city on its jersey, and we're going to talk about them here on the show with co-host Andy Iden, of course, the head coach Matt Audette. Don't worry, though. We will have a discussion about what happened earlier this week. The second half of the show, a former NHL GM, one who just happens to work down the hall here, will be joining us in the second half of the program. Right now, though, let's take a look at the T-Birds with Matt and Andy. Matt, you got a split this past weekend, winning at home 7-4 over the Kootenai Ice. Then you dropped that 6-3 decision up in Kamloops to the Blazers. And two things jump out, and the first of those, and I think they're both related, by the way, is that you got 10 even strength goals. You've been struggling to score, but in those two games you combined for 10 goals and just can't seem to get a power play goal to supplement that. And injuries, the other thing, and I'm sure those are connected. You get one guy back, and he certainly helps the offense, but injuries to Reese Harsh again probably, again, keeps that power play from finding any consistency.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I thought we had a good week of practice on the power play, getting Phil back in there. And, you know, with Harshy healthy during the week, our power play was moving it around really good. We go and have only one power play Friday. We didn't have a chance to really show it off. And then Harsh gets hurt, so there goes our unit again. So that's kind of how it's been, this year on the power play and not being able to find any continuity there with our units. And I think it'll improve. We're going to work on it some more this week and, add more pieces to the puzzle.
And Tom mentioned the 10 goals, even strength goals, and Noah Philp is obviously a big part of that. I mean, it's not just what he does, but I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that it just sets up your lines better with him in that second line center.
Yeah, it does. And you can see, two games back and you see how much he's creating already. I believe he's got 4 points in two games that he's been back. But, like you said, I think when Philp was out, it's pretty easy for teams to key on our one line. They can get their best forward matchup, their top 2D, a steady diet of those players facing the Wedman line. So now it becomes a little bit of a matchup problem for the opposition. They got to decide, which line they want to try to shut down and it frees up the other line.
You're listening to the Weekly Coaches Show. The T-Birds getting ready for two games this weekend, one on the road, one at home. It begins Friday night over in Kennewick against the Tri-City Americans in a divisional battle. And then the T-Birds are home on Saturday, 6 o'clock start against the top team right now in the division, the Everett Silvertips. And T-Birds reminding you, if you're coming out to the game this Saturday, bring an unwrapped toy for the Forgotten Children's Fund collection. Les Schwab folks will be on hand to collect those for the less fortunate this holiday season. Matt, a couple of moments this past weekend in the two games. One, in the Kootenai game, they come back and tie the game at 4, and you have an immediate response to that. And then secondly, the game up in Kamloops, you fall behind by 2. You're able to come back and tie it at 3, but then right away you get into some penalty trouble. They score 2 power play goals, and you can't catch them again. So talk about those two moments and how they differed and how you were able to have that quick response against Kootenai, but not a second response against Kamloops.
Yeah. Last weekend it was, a story of managing momentum in the games. I think both games, I think it's in a lot of ways we're improving. As far as our, we're not getting sustained pressure in our end where we're getting kind of barraged with multiple chances. However, we're giving up the big chance kind of the freebie type situations, whether it's you know, guys getting behind us for two on ones or breakaways, or giving them a big 5-on-3 opportunity. Those are somewhat freebies for the other team. There was a few of them in the Kootenay game where, you know, they just got sprung behind their defensemen and had the big, big opportunity. It wasn't a body of work type of kind of defensive letdown for us. It was, you know, freebies, we call them, giving up the big plays if you want to relate it to football. But, you know, that was a story of the Friday night game. You know, we managed to respond in that game. And then the Saturday night game, you know, we battled back to tie at 3-3. And I felt we had the momentum in the game. We were starting to take it to them. And then, like you said, it was a too many men penalty, kind of a mental mistake by one of our guys on the bench. And then we took another penalty to lead to a minute and a half, 5-on-3. And then, you know, before we know it, we're down 5-3. So just not managing the kind of the momentum swings. And that was obviously a key moment in the game.
You mentioned the odd man rushes against that Kootenay had against you, and watching them more intently the game in Kamloops, I noticed they were kind of trying to chip that puck past your D. Is that just them trying to take advantage of a young and experienced defensive group that you have on the ice right now?
Yeah, that might be part of it. Yeah, and there was one of those, their first goal in Kamloops was one of those situations as well. So I think that's part of it. I think at the same time, our D just have to read the plays a little bit better, send some danger there. You know, it's kind of a cardinal rule for the D not to let guys get behind you. That happened a few times this past weekend. And I think with teams and their style of play a lot nowadays, it's a transition. And, you know, you're trying to break past the opposition's defense. And, you know, our D just weren't quite on top of reading those plays quick enough.
And we talk a lot in hockey about momentum, and we mentioned that a little bit. And in that Kamloops game, I mean, you guys built the momentum, and it kind of felt like you were in control. The timing of those goals, they were late in the period, and just in general, not necessarily maybe that game, but just in general, when you give up the late goal, especially one that puts you behind, how much, when you go into the room, how much of a deflation is that for a hockey player?
Yeah, it's not ideal. You want to go into the room feeling good and kind of build off that going into the next period. Yeah, those penalties happened to happen late in the period. They got the one on the 5-on-3. Then we took another, I think with a couple minutes left in the period, and they scored another power play goal. So we're going into the room on a down note. Went in on the flip side of that, we had a really big chance at the kind of dying seconds of the second, which would have been great to get that. Wedman had, you know, had a great look there, and, you know, we didn't cash in on that. That would have been a great kind of reboost going into the intermission, but, you know, that didn't happen. And, you know, we come out into the third down 2 goals. So, yeah, the last few minutes of periods, you know, the starts of periods, those are key moments of the game.
And it kind of goes in line with that one penalty, maybe too many in a game taken, because you're going to be a physical team, a heavy team. You're going to draw some penalties as a result of your style of play, but some of those penalties, you know, there was a bench minor, aren't necessarily because of that style of play, but it's just, you know, whether you can call it bad timing on a penalty or just maybe one penalty too many, you're not really shorthanded that often in games, but that one extra penalty seems to be a difference a lot of times.
Yeah, you know, absolutely right. You know, we always say to the guys, we'll kill the kind of the penalties with our style of play, and if they're aggressive penalties, if we're being physical on the forecheck, things like that. But I think some of our penalties, you know, they've been ozone stick penalties, which you want to try to avoid, the hooks and the trips. We've had a few of those, obviously the bench minors for too many men. We've had a couple of those. So those are avoidable penalties that we can eliminate. You know, and if we're talking about power play and special teams, we've had a few those stick penalties on our power play, which is kind of kiboshed some power play opportunities. So they count on the power play score sheet as a failed attempt, but some of those were only, you know, 15, 20 seconds because we negated them by taking a penalty ourselves. So those are things that we have to clean up. And, you know, like I said, we'll kill the aggressive T-Bird physical play penalties, but the unnecessary stick penalties and the mental mistakes we have to eliminate.
You and I talk a little bit after the game on Saturday that it feels to me, at least, that there's some positives here, and that you guys are really close. Even going back to that Portland game the weekend before, You know, it just feels a little bit different than it was when you were barely struggling to score a goal. I mean, you're scoring multiple goals from multiple lines now, and it just feels like you guys are just that close. Do you guys feel that as a team, that but you're just a bounce here or bounce there away?
Yeah, we do feel that. I think, obviously, the Phil return has been a huge boost to our team. You know, and the way we kind of break down our games as coaches, we can see signs of us coming out of it. You know, we're out-chancing some teams. You know, we're out-zone timing teams. You know, we're out-coursing teams, if we're talking about some of the analytics stuff. So there's signs pointing to, you know, our play being a little bit better. You know, we're getting boosts from some guys returning to the lineup. Hopefully we get a couple big boosts coming up this weekend. I don't want to tip our hand at all, but so yeah, we feel like we're getting to the light at the end of the tunnel. You know, we may have the full team that we always envisioned from the start of the year, and you know, and give ourselves a chance to make some noise. So we're excited, we're optimistic in the room, and you know, we got to keep that going.
Again, you're listening to the weekly Seattle Thunderbirds Coaches Show with the head coach, Matt Odette, along with our co-host, Andy. I will be back with the second half to check in with the former general manager of the T-Birds, now the vice president of hockey operations. Russ Farwell will join us to talk about the big news in hockey here in the Northwest this week, that the coach returns as well ahead of a busy two-weekend game for Seattle. This is the Coaches Show on Sports Radio 1090 KJR.
This is the Thunderbirds Weekly Coaches Show on 1090 KJR.
Welcome back to the second half of our program ahead of a two-game weekend for the T-Birds. A reminder, the game at home Saturday starts at 6 o'clock against the Everett Silvertips. Prior to that, the T-Birds tomorrow night in Kennewick at the Toyota Center to take on the Tri-City Americans. Two divisional games for Seattle coming up this weekend. And the big news this week, as we mentioned, was that the NHL has awarded their 32nd franchise to the city of Seattle, and a lot of buzz around that. And in fact, it's been building up over the course of the last 6-7 months, even probably longer than that. And maybe one of the busier guys in regards to that, at least as far as interviews, being contacted by national media both here in the States and up in Canada, has been Russ Farwell, who up until last season was the T-Birds general manager, now the vice president of hockey operations. And we got to get you to explain, first of all, what that is, because I don't know what changed as far as your role is, but can you maybe on a calculator, or at least maybe on your hands, count the number of interviews you have done with media, both locally and outside the area, before this announcement of the NHL coming to Seattle?
Yeah, I don't know if I could do that. I mean, started, you know, as this has wound up and got going, we used to do, Ian had Quebec in here two or three times, and we had to, you know, when they thought they were hotly in the running, and then, but it has been lots of interest, and certainly the city now, everyone's climbing on board, and there's no one else to talk to, so I we talk about it, and we have been here a long time, so it's kind of talking about what the grassroots and what the interests are is kind of what people sometimes want to talk about. But it's going to be interesting. It's no doubt it's going to drive the sport and the profile and really give the game a presence here, and I believe it's the last place in the whole U.S. to turn on to hockey, so it's going to be exciting to watch it grow, but it's not a given. You have to kind of nurture that a bit, because a lot of people haven't had a chance to experience the sport, and that's how you build grassroots fans and stuff. So I think there's some work to be done there, but I think it's going to be fun watching it grow.
I was kind of joking with Andy that when you move the team from Seattle proper and Key Arena, where the new team will play when they remodel that down here to Kent, you kept the name Seattle on the jersey. And with this news that the team is coming to Seattle, the NHL team, all the video I'm seeing is of T-Bird jerseys with that Seattle on the front. So that's a terrific marketing tool, and I'm sure you didn't anticipate that, but kudos for not changing the name when you moved, so you still got a lot of pub as a result of that.
Well, we have, I guess, but it was important in our league to keep the name. We had a lot of, you know, push from the league, because Seattle has been a draw, and I think Seattle coming means a bit more than you know, changing it. So that part, and I think we've become a bit of a regional team in moving here. We're based in Kent. We love Kent. It's been good, but we are a bit of a regional team, and I think from, you know, the whole marketing effort, benefits from us being a Seattle team or Seattle name rather than more specific. So it's been good that way, and it's been positive. We haven't, you know, the city accepted that. They like the idea of kind of stealing a Seattle product, and I think it's been real good here.
And the question I get a lot, and I'm sure you probably get it more than I do, is how the NHL's arrival is going to impact the junior hockey teams here, you guys, and even up in Everett. And I know I've had some conversations with folks here that you guys look overall will feel that it's going to be a positive impact.
Well, and we talked about that early on. Like, we thought getting this, keeping the building at this size was really a good thing for us because, you know, anything at 4, our building's really exciting, and it's a real good, presents very well, and it's a good, and that way I don't think we're going to get hurt. I mean, we all know if we live here, traffic and parking and stuff really determines how available you are, and we have free parking. Traffic eliminates, you don't just decide at 4 o'clock to jump in the car and go to an NHL game downtown. You're going to have to plan that a month ahead of time, probably to save up for the ticket and to be able to get off work and go there. So ours is a different thing. It's more of a family-based, you know, product, and we're thinking that the difference. But I think the overall profile and the interest in the sport is really going to get a boost in this area. And I think the whole state, I think everyone in the region will get a boost because hockey will, you know, will get a boost, and people will become aware of it that just hadn't thought of it before.
Yeah, Andy mentioned one of the questions you probably got a lot was how it would affect the junior hockey teams. I'm sure the other question you got a lot of is Seattle a hockey market? Can they support the NHL along with the NFL, Major League Baseball, a top-tier college team, and what eventually some people say will be the return of the NBA? And what is your response to that?
Well, I don't know about the timetable in the NBA, but I think it's a winter sport. I think there's a hole there right now, and I think it's going to be – there's no reason it won't work. I mean, they went to Florida and made it work. They went to Dallas and made it work. They went into Colorado, and there's no reason it won't work here. There's proximity and everything else. It's a positive, but it's not a given. It's not an easy. It's not just going to be we're here and open the doors. They're going to have to be involved the same as these other. You know, Colorado was very involved in minor hockey there and helped it grow. San Jose is still involved in the minor hockey program there and helped that grow. Dallas had their whole program, and they helped they had a program to help get financing and build ice there, which really helped the sport grow and has produced a lot of players, which has been a side effect. But that lets people experience the sport and be involved. Their kids are involved. They become hockey fans, and that's how you build that long-term interest. So that all needs to be done, but there's no reason it won't. This is a real qualified, impressive group that's stepping up with this NHL team, and I think they'll do a real good job.
And you talked about the building size here, and I imagine it would be different if you guys would end up playing in the newer, bigger arena. There are a couple teams in this league that play in NHL arenas, and even if they draw 6,000 fans, they're in an 18,000-seat arena, and just aesthetically and feel, it doesn't look right. So I'm guessing that's an extra bonus that you've got your own home here that's not going to be impacted by that as far as, you know, changing the way that the games are presented.
I think so. I think, our this is such a perfect environment to present our level and our game and all good seats and all that going on. But it's hard. It works in Calgary and Edmonton, but it's very interesting. You go to those games, and there's not that many people that are crossover. They have their own following. They have it's a family group that goes to the junior games, and it's so much corporate when you get to the NHL games and a different price point that it makes two different groups that follow the team. So they support each other, and it's working and positive there, and it gives them the extra nights, I guess, in the building. But it's two different groups that go there. So, you know, I don't think we're competing for the same fan. I think the growth and interest, I hope, will fill that in or anything that we would lose there.
Would there be any official partnership, or will it be organic as far as promoting the game between the junior teams and the NHL group?
Yeah, that remains to be seen. They've been real good about filling us in and been positive that way, and I think they're a real good, the people running that are positive. I don't think they're going to come and do anything that would hurt us, but there's a limit to what's going to happen there. Like they're running. The NHL is a whole different level. It's pro sport, and they're going to run their operation, and we're going to coexist. And that's the best that I think you'll see happen. The other thing is that the players it's a development agreement, and it's from league to league, and there'll be no interaction. There's not very little that can be done there. So it is the place where the players are scouted from and they're drafted. And I think our fans, it'll be fun to see the guys work through the system and play, and they played here, and then they see them come to town. And that's going to be a good thing for us to be able to show people the path and how close our guys are to playing. And I think it helps sell the game and show our level and the quality of it. But other than that, we'd love to work with them, but I don't know. We don't expect that, and we're not counting on that.
Lastly, I'm looking at some past surveys of jerseys and logos as far as hockey teams go, and the Thunderbird logo has always, and the jersey has always been up there, if not one of the top five, voted one of the best in all of hockey. How much have these guys offered to get that from you?
Yeah, I think they're coming. There's a real Hollywood element there. I think they'll come with their own thoughts and their own. They're going to hit the street with their own show, and that's great. And we're very proud of our logo, and that's why we don't try. We experiment a bit because the market kind of demands it, but we really strongly resist that because we're proud of our logo, and it's something that's been with our team a long time. So yeah, it is it does get recognized, and we're not going to mess around with it.
Somebody's going to hear that, and they're only going to catch the part where I said they were offered money.
Yeah.
And it'll spread.
You're starting rumors.
Yeah, that's what we do here. Russ, thanks for joining us. Again, a big week of news in the Pacific Northwest hockey wise, but the T-Birds are here. They're not going anywhere, and they got a couple of games on tap, including a home game this Saturday against Everett. So the two rivals are meeting this week, and maybe apropos with the news coming this week that they play each other this weekend.
Very good.
Time now to bring back in the head coach, Matt Audette, ahead of a two-game weekend for the T-Birds. First up, Matt, you go on the road over to Eastern Washington. Kennewick take on the Tri-City Americans. This is the team that, or one of the teams at least, that you may end up battling with for a playoff spot in the Western Conference. So it's a critical, even though it's early December, a critical 2 points on the schedule for you.
Yeah, for sure. We always say it doesn't matter if it's December or March, the points count the same in the playoff standing. So it's, every point is critical. Obviously two divisional games coming up this weekend, and they're usually always tough, and we're expecting a battle on Friday night.
They made a trade, brought in one of your former players, Aaron Hyman, the defenseman, 20-year-old. What does that trade say maybe about what they're trying to do as you go into that game?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess, I think they're trying to bolster their back end, obviously, get a little bit more experience there. We all know about Himes, a pretty solid defenseman. He's having a big year offensively, kind of out of the blue there. So kind of bolsters their back end and also their power play. He's been playing a lot of power play minutes, so a new and improved Himes that we'll have to worry about.
And when a team makes a move like that, and Everett's also made a move who you'll play Saturday, does that change what those teams do very much? Do you have to prepare differently when there's a new player coming on?
No, not really. Maybe if it's a really dynamic guy that is going to plug right into their power play, and they might set up their power play differently through that player. But I think with these moves, they're somewhat depth moves right now for these guys, so I don't think it'll affect their style of play too much.
And you go into these games, and you have to believe they are winnable, whether it's Tri-City or Everett, and all you have to do is point to a game earlier this week in the Western Hockey League where the Prince Albert Raiders, riding a 19-game unbeaten streak, went in to play a Swift Current team that sits at the bottom of the league standings, just not the conference or division standings, and Swift Current came out with a shootout win.
Yeah, and I think that's the WHL. I think, you know, any team can win on any given night. There's no real easy games. You know, even the good teams have to be on their toes. You know, these are young kids, and it's highly unpredictable. So, you know, I think every game is a winnable game for every team, and just goes to show there with the results, you know, PA against Swift.
Well, the T-Birds, as we said, got two games this week. It begins on the road tomorrow night in Kennewick against the Tri-City Americans, here Saturday at 6 against the Everett Silvertips. And the coach, doing his promoting, gave his little tease that maybe the roster is going to get a little healthy too. So stay tuned, as they say, to see what happens this weekend with the T-Bird roster and whether they do get, in fact, healthy. Want to thank our guest, Russ Farwell, along with our co-host, Andy Ott, and the coach, Matt Odette. You've been listening to the Weekly Coaches Show on Sports Radio 1090 KJR.
This has been the Seattle Thunderbirds Coaches Show with Tom Boyning and head coach Matt Odette. Join us again next Thursday night at 6 on your home for Thunderbirds hockey, 1090 KJR.